KSDP, 830 AM in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
We can see the specific oil and gas jobs, but those projects are also driving some job growth in related industries.
Despite flat job growth across the state, oil and gas see an employment boost in the Arctic. From Alaska Public Media, this is Statewide News on Alaska News Nightly for Tuesday, April 8th. Good evening, I'm Casey Grove. Also tonight, Alaska wildlife managers resume a controversial bear killing program to support Western Alaska caribou.
Right now we have a herd that is shut down where a large number of people in Western Alaska can't put caribou in their freezer right now.
Those stories and more tonight on Alaska News Nightly.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Talk one-on-one with experts on mental health, nutrition, pharmacology, surgery, childcare, and much more on Line One, Your Health Connection. Join our hosts as they discuss the health topics that matter to Alaskans with their guests and live callers. Email questions before, during, or after the live broadcast to lineone@alaskapublic.org. That's Line One, Your Health Connection, weekly on your local public radio station.
Alaska wildlife management officials plan to resume killing wild bears this spring to promote the rebound of Southwest Alaska's Mulchatna caribou herd. The controversial predator control practice was on, then off after a judge's decision, and now back on again after regulators took emergency action in late March. KDLG's Margaret Sutherland reports.
Since 2011, the state has used intensive management predator control measures, including aerial wolf hunting, to support the Mulchatna caribou herd's growth. In 2022, the program expanded to include bears, leading to the removal of 175 brown bears and 5 black bears over the past 2 years. The Alaska Wildlife Alliance opposed the bear expansion and sued. Specifically, it said the Alaska Board of Game made procedural missteps around public noticing and public comment in its 2022 modification, and failed to show that it was sustainable for the bears. The Wildlife Alliance won. Superior Court Judge Andrew Guidi dissolved the program in March, ending predator control efforts in the Mulchatna region. Then, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game petitioned the Board of Game to essentially recreate the program through an emergency regulation, which bypasses standard public comment requirements and is effective for 120 days. The board unanimously agreed to the emergency designation, then recreated the program in a 6-1 vote. ADF&G biologist John Landseedle told the board the program has improved calf survival.
The caribou calves have shown a positive response to this treatment, with the two highest recorded calf-to-cow ratios in the West Mulchatna since at least 1999.
The department also sought to demonstrate that the program was not harming the overall brown bear population. It cited reports of increased bear numbers and past surveys showing healthy populations. Landseedle said the effect on predator populations in the area was negligible. The Mulchatna herd, which numbered around 200,000 in the late 1990s, has dropped to an estimated 15,000 caribou. The state's goal is to rebuild the population to a harvestable level, as subsistence needs for 48 communities have not been met since 2004, according to the department. The caribou hunt has been closed entirely since 2021. Board member Stosh Hoffman of Bethel was one of the yes votes in the motion to pass the emergency regulation. He commented on the need to restore the herd for subsistence users.
Right now we have a herd that is shut down where a large number of people in Western Alaska can't put caribou in their freezer right now. And it's not gonna grow if they don't have calf survival. We're in tough times out here. A lot of things are changing. The salmon is in big decline. Our moose population, everyone knows it's gonna tip over real soon, like new moose populations tend to do. When they crash hard.
Board member John Wood cast the only dissenting vote. He said he didn't have enough time with the material to make a decision.
I'm just not comfortable. In fact, I'm very uncomfortable with the process being followed. And I don't appreciate that, but it's nothing that the department could have done otherwise. The lawsuit came out when the lawsuit came out. And they reacted pretty darn quick, just not quick enough for me to make a decision.
Nicole Schmidt, executive director of the Alaska Wildlife Alliance, said the emergency approval further undermined public participation in wildlife management. She says she was shocked by the outcome.
You know, we were expecting that the board would call a meeting together, you know, have a public comment period, something like that. We were not expecting this because it was just so outside of the realm of what is normal or what we could conceive as a next step. I mean, it's just so defiant of the court order. And so I think everyone's been scrambling to understand.
Schmidt said her organization is considering further legal options. She argues that the emergency regulation disregards the court ruling and repeats the same public process issues that led to the program being struck down in the first place.
Suffice it to say, the concerns that we had initially about this program have not been rectified at all. So we're certainly not done.
With the board's approval, ADF&G plans to move forward with predator control efforts in mid-May and continue into early June, depending on weather conditions. Reporting from KDLG in Dillingham, I'm Margaret Sutherland.
Job growth is flat across most of Alaska, according to new state data, but the Arctic saw a big spike last year. As the Alaska Desk's Shelby Herbert reports, that's mostly due to construction on oil and gas projects.
This month's report from the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development shows that job growth is up about 7% in the North Slope and Northwest Arctic regions. For comparison, most other areas of the state are in the ballpark of 2% up or 2% down. Dan Robinson is a researcher with the department. He says the Willow and Pika projects, operated by ConocoPhillips Alaska and Santos, respectively, are boosting employment in the northernmost parts of the state.
And some of those jobs are in construction, some of them are in transportation, so we can see the specific oil and gas jobs, but those projects are also driving some job growth in related industries.
Meaning contractors and other nearby businesses that support the oil and gas fields are getting a lift too. The Willow Project is the largest of its kind to be developed on the North Slope in more than 20 years and has been embroiled in controversy for nearly as long. The environmental legal nonprofit Earth Justice, which was one of many advocacy groups that unsuccessfully sued to stop the project in 2023, characterizes Willow as a carbon bomb. But the project has received overwhelming bipartisan support from the Alaska legislature and the state's federal delegation in years past. ConocoPhillips Alaska Vice President Barry Romberg told the State House Resources Committee back in February that last year was the first major construction season for the Willow Project. And in spite of challenging weather, the company mobilized 1,200 workers for last year's winter construction season.
And 2025 is going to be even busier for us. So we'll have 2,400 workers on the slope. So approximately double what we had on the slope last year. And they're going to be progressing a tremendous amount of civil work.
Romberg said the company is planning on building out hundreds of miles of ice road and 30 miles of pipeline this year as well. At that meeting, representatives from both ConocoPhillips and Santos told legislators that they prioritize hiring locally. And according to Santos, about 80% of the workforce for the Pika project was hired from within the state. Construction on Willow will continue after next year, and the project remains on track for oil extraction beginning in 2029. Santos is expected to complete its pipeline for the Pika project by the end of this year, with its first oil extraction scheduled for 2026. Reporting in Fairbanks, I'm Shelby Herbert.
Still to come on Alaska News Nightly, Miss Chemai is crowned at the Chemai Dance Festival.
I'm excited to be a role model for the younger generations, you know, being able to speak Yupik even though I'm half Gusuk and half Yuk, and also be a living, walking hope, I guess I would say, for the elders.
That's ahead. Stay with us.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station. We're glad to have you tuning in, and we'd love to welcome you as a member. Make a donation to this station and be a part of the public media family. Thank you.
Get your weekly look at the trends, policies, and issues that impact your wallet in Alaska with the Alaska Economic Report. From local businesses to fiscal policy to big industries like fishing, tourism, and oil and gas, I'll cover the high-stakes economic issues that matter to Alaskans all over the state. That's the Alaska Economic Report with me, Ava White, on your local public radio station each week.
The state of Alaska has charged 10 U.S. nationals in the small community of Whittier with voter misconduct and perjury. The charges say the defendants were born in American Samoa, which makes them nationals but not citizens. Alaska law allows only U.S. citizens to vote. The case is sure to get attention because non-citizen voting has become a hot-button issue nationally. President Trump has claimed, without evidence, that widespread voter fraud was one of the reasons he lost the 2020 election. Alaska Deputy Attorney General John Skidmore says the Whittier case began with a tip in December 2023.
There was an anonymous call that came to the Division of Elections about non-U.S. citizens that had registered to vote who were voting.
The charges also say that all 10 defendants voted or tried to vote in Whittier City elections or for the regional school board. Some are also alleged to have at least tried to vote in primaries. 32-year-old Matthew Pesay is among the few alleged to have made an attempt or actually voted in the 2020 general election. A Facebook account that appears to be his has several posts that praise or celebrate Trump. He did not respond to a Facebook message for comment, nor did several other defendants Alaska public media attempted to contact through Facebook. The charges say Pesay told investigators that he thought his wife had once said he couldn't vote because he wasn't a citizen. Skidmore says every year the state gets a few allegations of illegal voting and has charged about 5 cases in as many years.
By and large, it's not something that we find happens. Most of the investigations that we conduct result in determinations that charges are not appropriate to be filed. But in those cases where we do find sufficient evidence to say that crimes did occur, then we will file charges, as we have here.
Each defendant has been charged with at least 2 felonies. They have not been arrested, but have been summoned to appear in court. The Juneau Assembly voted last night to approve a Tidelands lease for a 5th cruise ship dock in downtown Juneau. As KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, it paves the way for its construction to move forward after a years-long process.
On Monday night, Huna Totem Corporation's plan to build a new downtown cruise ship dock cleared what was essentially the last hurdle that stood in the way of the dock either being built or denied. It was a win for tourism development when cruise ship tourism and its growth is an increasingly divisive issue in town. But Deputy Mayor Greg Smith, who voted in favor of the lease, says approval of the project doesn't necessarily increase the number of tourists in Juneau.
With or without this dock, we will still have 5 ships in town. This is not the vote, or this is not the question on what is the future of tourism, and that is still undecided and unknown. This is, you know, should we allow a 5th dock and the benefits that it brings, and in my opinion, it is worth supporting.
Huna Totem Corporation, an Alaska Native corporation that owns Icy Strait Point Cruise Port in Huna, plans to develop a piece of the Juneau waterfront along Egan Drive, next to Juneau's Coast Guard Station. Assemblymember Alicia Huskandes, who was the only member to vote against the lease, says she doesn't think it's in the best interest of the residents who will feel the impacts the most.
And so I ask myself, is this the right thing? Is there a rush? Have we truly done the planning to make this decision? And I do not think we have.
The dock will be constructed in Gastineau Channel, accompanied by a waterfront development called Auk Landing. The development will include underground parking, retail space, and a culture and science center. The Tidelands lease is set to last for 35 years. The Assembly's vote Monday night came after multiple rounds of public testimony, both in favor and against the development. Huna Totem and supporters of the new dock say it would help disperse tourism downtown and ease vehicle congestion. Kerry Crocker, who leads the local international longshore and warehouse union, calls the dock a big win for Juneau.
I spend about 2,000 hours a summer downtown. I'm the dock foreman for all 4 docks, and we service all the ships that are over 1,000 feet. I can assure you that the downtown congestion will definitely be dissipated with the new dock.
However, critics of the project, like Joan Wilkerson, says she's worried about the dock's proximity to her home and the health impacts the ships could have on the air quality. She asked the Assembly to postpone the vote.
Adding yet another ship pumping more poison into the air right under our windows is not welcome.
Part of the agreement with the city is that there can be no more than 1 ship docked there in a 24-hour period. The city has previously signed agreements with cruise lines that put in place a 5-ship limit in Juneau and limits the number of daily passengers that come to Juneau beginning in 2026. Huna-Totum is also required to provide electrified shore power within 2 years after a power line to connect it is built within 25 feet of its property line. Once the shore power is available, all large ships using the dock must use shore power instead of ship power, which uses fossil fuels. The Assembly added a few conditions that Huna-Totum must agree to before members voted to approve the lease. One is that the corporation must provide the city with assurance from the Coast Guard that the dock will not obstruct the icebreaker expected to be homeported in Juneau. Another condition includes only allowing ships with 4,500 passengers or fewer. Russell Dick, the president and CEO of Huna-Totum, was not immediately available for comment on the project's approval or to share more information about the development's next steps. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
A space technology company has signed a lease to build a satellite launch facility in ADAC. The deal was announced in a press release Thursday from the Aleut Corporation, which is ADAC's native corporation. Kate Gilling is a spokesperson for the regional corporation, and she says they've been in talks with the California-based space startup SpinLaunch for several years. The company finally signed a 100-year lease on a site in the Aleutian community back in October.
To finally to be at the point where we can announce and share it is very exciting.
SpinLaunch uses a centrifuge to send satellites into low Earth orbit. Instead of relying on fuel-powered rockets, the company's system spins payloads in a vacuum chamber at high speeds and hurls them into the atmosphere.
I like to think of it as just like a high-tech slingshot.
SpinLaunch first proposed this method as a lower-cost alternative to conventional rocket launches back in 2018. The company has since completed about 10 test flights using a scaled-down version of the system at Spaceport America in New Mexico. In recent years, it explored locations for a permanent launch site, which included a 2020 visit to Unalaska. That project did not advance past early discussions. ADAC is the westernmost municipality in the United States and was once the home of a naval airbase, which closed in 1997. A timeline for launch operations has not been announced.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by
GCI, keeping schools and students connected across the state with a resilient and redundant network. Details at gci.com/education. If domestic violence has touched your life, know that you are not alone. You have the power to break free and build a future filled with love and respect. There's hope and help waiting for you. For free and confidential support, visit notaloneak.org to speak to someone who's trained to help. Every Alaskan deserves to feel safe. This message sponsored by the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault.
Cantwell-based musher Jesse Holmes won the Kobuk 440 sled dog race, a challenging 400-mile race that runs through six villages in the northwest Arctic before returning to Kotzebue. At the finish line on Sunday, KOTZ's Desiree Hagen watched one particularly rewarding moment unfold for the race's runner-up.
About 50 people are gathered here, plus others honking horns from the comfort of their cars. It's late evening and about 0 degrees, but the spring sun is up and reflecting off the ice. Spectators are barely recognizable in dark sunglasses, seal and beaver skin hats, full snow machine bibs, traditional parkas, and balaclavas. As musher Kevin Hansen approaches, he spots his son waving among a group of children who rush out to meet him.
You know, I'm missing him on the trail. It's hard to leave your little guy out there.
He scoops him up and crosses the finish line with him in the sled. Hansen's parents, who have both been involved with the Kobuk 440 race since he was a child, beam with joy as their son and grandson reach the finish line together. Kevin's mother, Margaret Hansen, is dressed in a homemade fur-lined parkie. She drapes artificial flower necklaces over the lead dogs, Fiddler, Caveman, and Rambo. Hansen, who has completed the race several times, said this year was his team's strongest performance so far.
Just so much community came out to support. I was surprised. There's a lot of people down there. I felt like I won the race, even though it was just for second place.
Next year, he says he hopes to race in his first Iditarod. Hansen finished about 2 hours behind the winner, Cantwell-based musher Jesse Holmes. For his win, Holmes will take home around $13,000 and a commemorative plaque carved from jade mined near the race route. It was Holmes' third consecutive 440 win and fourth win overall. Holmes also won this year's Iditarod and Copper Basin 300 races. Holmes crossed the finish line in Kotzebue with 9 dogs, guided by lead dogs Zeus and Titan. Holmes says, as a whole, this year's trail was slow and long.
Man, sometimes in the middle of these runs, I think, why did I come out here? Why am I doing this? This is just crazy.
There were sudden heavy wind ground storms, whiteouts, sub-zero temperatures, and challenging snow consistencies, ranging from sugar to mashed potatoes. Veteran mushers say it was one of the more challenging years.
Then I get to the next checkpoint, and I get so full of, like, everybody's positivity and, like, loving vibes that every time I leave a checkpoint, I say, I'll see you next year.
Holmes and Hansen praise their dog's ability to adapt to the difficult conditions. Holmes says in many ways he believes the Kobuk 440, even though it's half as long, is a harder race than the Iditarod.
If you can do this race, you can do the Iditarod, no problem. You know, this requires so much mental fortitude, so much toughness, and so much good listening to your dogs and reading your dogs and managing your dog team.
Many of the mushers arrived in Kotzebue with red, sun, and windburned faces after 4 to 5 days on the trail. Some said they were too sleep-deprived to talk about the race. Kotzebue musher Jim Borquin said on Sunday morning he got caught in a sudden snowstorm and lost sight of the trail. He was just 2 miles from a shelter cabin, but had to sleep outside along the trail in sub-zero temperatures. Borquin was one of the last mushers to finish, arriving Monday afternoon just before the start of the mushers' banquet. Mushers who arrive after the banquet are disqualified. 2 of the 13 starting mushers did scratch, Adam Lindenmuth and Quince Mountain. The race seemed to have a profound effect on Mountain.
I think that it comes through the rich history of the land of people here. People have been doing this here for thousands of years. You don't get that everywhere.
Mountain scratched an ambler after getting stuck in weather. At the awards ceremony and banquet, mushers received additional awards like handmade gifts from village checkpoints. In Kotzebue, I'm Desiree Hagen.
One staple of the annual Chimay Dance Festival is the crowning of that year's Miss Chimay, who represents the Yupik, Chupik, and Athabascan people of the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta at events and pageants throughout her reign. As KYUK's Sage Smiley reports, this year's winner ran on a platform of existing gracefully between the native and Western worlds so Yupik and Chupik people can thrive.
Around 18 hours before the crowning of Miss Chimay 2025, the 4 contestants were flying through the crowd at the Native Foods Dinner.
Every single Miss Chimay contestant is helping the elders with their food and bringing them to their tables, bringing them trays, bringing them tea or coffee and whatever kind of drinks they want.
That's 22-year-old Jolie Angukaganak Carlson, between ferrying cups of tang and lemonade to elders scattered across folding tables in the Bethel Regional High School cafeteria. Spoiler, Jolie Carlson was crowned Miss Chimay the following day.
It's really rewarding and being able to help and talk to the elders after not being home, you know, for a long time going to college. It's really nice to be around them and helping them.
Service is one of the major pillars of the Miss Chimay competition, which focuses on uplifting the indigenous communities of the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta through service, education, and leadership. Service is also a part of the judging process. Each year, Miss Chimay candidates are judged on personal interviews, essay questions, and service at the Elders' Dinner. Introductions to the Chimay crowd are also an important part of the competition.
Waka, angukaganawa yuxtun, kasadun su Jolie Carlson agula. Wiklugumiunga tagamani anglishunga, ayapulitnawa munisu litnawa. Monachkamami su graduate agula 2020 me. Jo gayak, Sophie gayak su. Chalaima. Dutkara Katna, Marluka, Rinaramunguluni,
It had been about 8 years since Carlson attended Chemung. She went to Mount Edgecombe High School in Sitka and straight to college at the University of Minnesota Morris, where she recently graduated with degrees in psychology and Native American and Indigenous studies, with a minor in English.
My mom was the one who really encouraged me to try for Miss Chemung because she has always encouraged me to speak my language and be connected with my culture, and she's the one that taught me all of that, you know.
Carlson says it was a bit of a mental challenge to enter the competition. She says she's kind of a shy person who doesn't love talking in big groups.
I think the hardest part about it for me was my own brain and my own anxiety of like going on stage and like, you know, going into an interview.
And just like her family encouraged her to get into the competition, they helped her through the anxiety as well.
I would take a few deep breaths and remember who I am and remember who my mom and dad are and why they were encouraging me. And who I'm doing it for, you know, the younger generations and the older generations, the elders, so that they have hope for the future, you know, that our language still continues and that our culture still continues.
Miss Chemung contestants pick a platform for their run. Carlson's platform was about walking and living gracefully between the Native and Western worlds, so Yupik and Chupik people can thrive for generations to come.
Focusing on the Native values that we have, like cultural activities and stuff like that, speaking the language while also making sure to stay in school and graduate and, you know, either go to college or training if you need or want to, and working so that you can live a comfortable life, you know, balancing out both of those lifestyles.
Carlson says she's tried to model that platform in her own life, speaking Yuchtun in the home with her family in Kwithlik and Bethel, while also focusing on her education and how she can give back to the community through her work. She's recently been hired to work as a behavioral health case manager for the regional Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation. But she says finding out she got the job took a bit longer than expected.
They've been trying to call me, but I've been out manukking, you know, ice fishing every single day. So I didn't know that they were calling me because I didn't have service on the river. But yeah, that's what I'll be working as a case manager for now, and then hopefully get my master's degree, not this year, but in the following few years.
In addition to winning the title of Miss Chemung, Carlson was also named Miss Photogenic. Her fellow competitor and first runner-up Sydney Lincoln of Tuksuk Bay was named Miss Congeniality.
I'm excited to be a role model for the younger generations, you know, being able to speak Yupik even though I'm half Gusuk and half Yuk, and also be a living, walking hope, I guess I would say, for the elders, you know, because they get excited when they hear me speaking Yupik because they don't expect that from somebody so young.
Although early in her reign as Miss Chemung, Carlson encourages young women from the YK Delta to participate in the competition next year.
And encourage all the younger generations to continue to speak Yupik and continue to live their cultural lifestyles at home and be there for their families and their elders.
Carlson will compete in the Miss World Eskimo Indian Olympics, also called Miss WIO, competition later this year in Fairbanks. Last year's Miss Chemung, Tatiana Tanka-Corthius, went on to win Miss WIO and will compete in the Miss Indian World competition in late April. In Bethel, I'm Sage Smiley.
And that's all for this edition of Alaska News Nightly. If you missed any of tonight's stories, we're online at alaskapublic.org and wherever you get your podcasts. We had reports tonight from Margaret Sullivan in Dillingham, Shelby Herbert in Fairbanks, Liz Ruskin in Anchorage, Clarice Larson in Juneau, Theo Greenlee in Unalaska, Desiree Hagen in Kotzebue, and Sage Smiley in Bethel. If you want to send us a news tip, question, or comment, email us at news@alaskapublic.org. Our audio engineer is Chris Hyde, Tim Rocky's our producer, and I'm Casey Grove. Good night.
Alaska News Nightly was made possible by
ConocoPhillips Alaska, building the next generation of Alaska's workforce through investments in education and vocational training. ConocoPhillips Alaska, committed to Alaska for more than 50 years. Northern Air Cargo, providing year-round transportation of all types of freight from oversized equipment to small packages for commercial or residential. Northern Air Cargo, serving Alaska since 1956.
This is statewide news on Alaska Public Media.
Yeah, I see conclusion in all this confusion. Though you and I both know it's only the warm glow of wine.
say, just to hold me and tell me you'll be here to love me today. Children are dancing, the gamblers are chancing their own. Windows accusing the door of abusing the wall. But who cares what the night watchmen say? Set for the play. So just hold me and tell me you'll be here to love me today.
I tried to fuck 50 for a powerful hour, but all I wanna do is talk power for hours. Beat the poopy up, make sure it's a KO. Step your banks up like you moving that yayo. Somebody go and make sure Carucci okay though. I heard she think I'm trying to get a coupe to Quavo. They always wanna beat it up, goon up the poop. Man, maybe I should let them auto-tune up the poop. All these bow wow challenge dudes lying and shit. Many steady wop dudes stay eyeing my shit. Drake worth 100 milli, always buying me shit. But I don't know if the poop better if he crying and shit. Meek still be in my DMs, I be having to duck them.
I used to pray for times like this.
Face every when I fuck them. Man, Uzi is my baby, he ain't taking the L. But he took it literally when I said go to hell. Used to fuck with Young Thug, I ain't addressing the shit. Caught him in my dressing room, still in dresses and shit. I used to get this new with a list of testers and shit. How you want the poop? You can't say your S's and shit.
Dreams of fucking one of these little rappers.
I'm just playing. When I used to have a crush on Special Ed, shout out Designer cause he made it out of Special Ed. You wanna fuck me, you gotta get some special head. Cause this poop, we had these noobs on some special meds. Like Mike Tyson, he was biting my shit. Talking about yo, why you got these noobs fighting this shit. Wanna run a real, I should make these noobs rap for the poop. Young MA, Lady Luck, get the strap for
with his poop. And I would've had Odell Beckham banging the cake till I saw him hopping out of cars dancing to Drake. I've been a five-star big man, word to Gotti. I'ma do that future dirty, word to Scotty. Had to cancel DJ Khaled, boy, we ain't speaking. Ain't no fat nigga telling me what he ain't eating. YG in the game with the hammer yelling gang gang. This ain't what I meant when I said a gang bang. Tekashi won the Minaj, I said Treyway. Curved him and went the Kim and Kanye way. M cop the Barbie dream house and you can play the part. I ain't trying to bust it open in the trailer park.
Dreams of being one of these little rappers.
I'm just playing, what I'm saying.
Dreams of being one of these little rappers.
I'm just playing, what I'm saying.
Dreams of being one of these little rappers.
I'm just playing, what I'm saying.
You know I'm all about them dollars. I be supporting them scholars. I let them give me some brain, but he wanted me to ride it. So I said, fuck it, I'm in. He wanna cut like a trim. And if he act like he know, I let him fuck it again. I got them bars, I'm indicted. I'm popping, I'm uninvited. I said, just lick on the closet rip. Don't fucking bite it. I ride us in the circle. I turn Stefan into Urkel. I go around and around and I'ma go down in slow motion. Then I pick it up, look at it. I said, daddy, come get at it. Yellow brick road, he said that I am a whiz at it. Yeah, they want it, want it. You know I flaunt it, flaunt it. I'm a trendsetter, everything I do, they do. Yeah, I put them up on it, on it. Dímelo, papi, papi. Yo quiero sloppy, sloppy. I'll give it to you if you beat it up like Baki, Baki. I'm a killer with the shoe, no ceiling is in the roof. And I'm bigging me to lose 12 cylinders in the coupe. I get tone with the chrome, no telling when I'm a shoe. I just bang, bang, bang. Real killers is in my group, gorillas is in my unit. Vacation and wear a tear, and I shine, shine, shine. Got diamonds all in my cubans. I'm in L.A. times more than when it blew. And then my flow spit crack. I think that when using heat, I bodied everybody and closing these bitches. Losing, using, using. Up, I've been roving. No, I ain't studying, no, I ain't roving. Damn, I've been snoozing. Shout out to my Jews, the Heimer is proven. Big facts, yes, they be protruding. I be like, fuck em, bring a Lubin. I be like, fuck em, bring a Lubin.
Dandelions blowing in the wind, flying all around. The sun's high in the sky. My senses are keen on you. Those storm clouds that were blowing have moved over you and me. And those things between us are going by the way. Time to move.
I was 6 years old, I broke my leg. I was running from my brother and his friends, and tasted the sweet perfume of the mountain grass I rolled down. I was younger then. Take me back to when I found my heart, broke it here, made friends and lost them through the years. And I've not seen the boring fields in so long. I know I've grown, but I can't wait to go home. Old and smoking and rolled cigarettes, running from the law through the backfields and getting drunk with my friends. Had my first kiss on a Friday night. I don't reckon that I did it right, but I was younger then. Take me back to when we found weekend jobs, when we got paid, we'd buy cheap spirits and drink them straight. Me and my friends have not thrown up in so long. Oh, how we've grown, but I can't wait to go home. Sell clothes, one works down by the coast, one had two kids but lives alone, one's brother overdosed, one's already on his second wife, one's just barely getting by. But these people raised me and I can't wait to go home. And now I'm on my way, I still remember these old country lanes when we did not know the answers. And I miss the way you make me feel. It's real.
Junkies on the corner always calling my name, and the kids on the corner playing ghetto games. highly metaphysical man. But I know when the stars all align, you can bump into a person in the middle of the road. Look into the eyes and you suddenly know. Rocking in the dance hall, moving with you. Dancing in the night in the middle of June. My mama told me don't lose you, cause the best luck I had was you. I said, hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back from around the way. It seems like you, cause the best luck I had was you, and I know one thing, that I love you. I say, hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back, come around the way. It seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know. I say, hey,
Sonic, bionic, uranium hit. So I break them all tricks. They say that it's thick. I'ma say this once, yeah, I don't give a shit.
Don't play the stupid game, cause I'm a different kind of girl. Every record sounds the same, you gotta step into my world.
Got an I Love Jesus fist stuck on his bumper, with a rebel flag ribbon like a razor in the wind. A sign selling watermelons and cucumbers, a common advice you might need now and then. Yeah, he parks there off the pavement, just slightly in a ditch. He's got a two-tone tattered lawn chair where he smokes his pipe and sits. And when the sun goes down, the price goes down, and everybody knows there ain't one second that'll tick past seven that he ain't headed home. But you can come back early in the morning, get what you need fresh from the garden. A little less ripe, but that's how you like it. If you ain't tried it, better not knock it. If you didn't go to church the Sunday before, you can hear all about it and a little bit more about what it takes to make a man a man. Down at Henry Cartwright's, back home, homegrown prayer and produce stand. Daddy passed down the ground to raise it, the know-how and the plow he used to make it. And when you sink your teeth in, it's a sin to taste it. And if you had to stand in line, it's worth a wait. Yeah, he parks there off the pavement, just slightly in a ditch. He's got a two-tone tattered lawn chair where he smokes his pipe and sits. And when the sun goes down, the price goes down, and everybody knows there ain't one second that'll tick past seven that he ain't headed home. But you can come back early in the morning, get what you need fresh from the garden. A little less ripe, but that's how you like it. If you ain't tried it, better not knock it. If you didn't go to church the Sunday before, you can hear all about it and a little bit more about what it takes to make a man a man. Down at Henry Cartwright's, back home, homegrown prayer and produce stand. From the garden, a little less ripe, but that's how you like it. If you ain't tried it, better not knock it. If you didn't go to church the Sunday before, you can hear all about it and a little bit more about what it takes to make a man a man. Down at Henry Cartwright's, back home, homegrown prayer and produce.
We got potatoes, vine ripe tomatoes, big yellows washing, oh my gosh. Bible, he'll read the Bible and man, you're liable to find the Lord.
He's got an I Love Jesus fist stuck on his bumper, with a rebel flag ribbon like a razor in the wind.
The Yunga Tribal Council is a proud sponsor of KSDP and Aleutian Peninsula Broadcasting. Thank you for your support.
Dope.
Jump on it if you've sexed and flown it.